Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Regarding Funds for Australia. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, June 3, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in 2MR10, 8MR289. My mind has been strongly exercised in regard to the shares taken by me in Healdsburg College. I have been impressed to write to my brethren in California, asking them to consider this matter. Here I am on missionary ground. I have been investing means here continually, and yet we have no money to send laborers to fields destitute of help. I have been trying on the right hand and on the left to obtain means, and must my money in California be consumed by such matters as Brother Leininger? Am I to be left to pay $1,400 when I was planning to use this money to advance the work of God in this destitute portion of the Lord's vineyard? I ask my brethren in California to consider this. Will the Lord be pleased to have the means I need so much for the work in this country consumed in California? Will you let this be as it now is? It is not as it should be. Let those who can take my shares in Healdsburg College and release the money there invested. I have no particular call to invest more means in the Healdsburg School, because the money is needed in this new and destitute field. If our brethren in California had been wise, if they had presented the matter in a proper way, many would have taken shares in the college. I now make the request, let me have the money that should be used for the cause of God in this country. A meeting house must be built here, and I wish to invest the money now in Healdsburg College in this meeting house. Will my brethren consider this? Or will they show themselves willing to leave me to carry their burdens in Healdsburg, as well as the burdens of this field? Brethren, wake up to your duty. Ask Brother Cook if he cannot do something to relieve the situation. It would do him good to help to lift the debt on the church and school in Healdsburg. I shall expect my brethren to relieve me, and let me have my means to help in lifting the standard of truth in places where the light has never shone. As souls embrace the truth, a meeting house must be built in which they can worship God. Will you work earnestly to help us? My husband and I worked just as earnestly to help you upon the Pacific coast when we came to the place where we had to build in Oakland and San Francisco. Will you now let me bear burdens that you ought to bear? Will you now show a willingness to do your duty by helping us? Brother Leininger has helped the school in Healdsburg and the office in Oakland. When the work required help, he has advanced means. Have you interested yourself sufficiently in his present situation? The Lord has shown me the principle upon which our institution should act. When one has been liberal with his means in helping an institution, and afterwards becomes impoverished or embarrassed, there should be those who will make a kindly interest in him. He should not be left to struggle alone. The means that has been invested in our institutions should not be looked upon as too sacred to be judiciously used in helping those who have fallen into decay. A solemn charge is laid upon the managers of our institutions to see that those who have been helpers shall in their turn be helped. There are certain duties to be fulfilled in this line which are for the glory of God. God permits earnest, true-hearted men to be placed in trying circumstances, that the trial of their faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. The work of God is one harmonious whole. This should be shown by the brethren in their treatment of each other. God would have those entrusted with responsibilities in His work give tangible proof that they are wide awake to a sense of their duty toward those who have helped God's institutions. God will require this at their hands, and He will prosper the institution where justice and judgment run like threads of gold through every branch of the work. Let heaven begin on earth by doing justice and judgment. Let us make sure that in whatever position we are placed, we cherish the presence of an abiding Christ. Christians preparing for the city God has built for the pure and holy must show that they love God and their fellow men. This must be. Otherwise, Christ cannot stamp them with the image of God. He cannot restore in them His attributes or make them partakers of the divine nature. This must be accomplished for all who win eternal life. Selfishness can find no place in God's kingdom. From many characters, the furnace must burn away the dross of selfishness before they can enter the abode of bliss. If this work is done for us, we shall be restored to the favor of God. His favor is a priceless treasure, and His loving kindness better than life. We should esteem it a privilege to help those who need our help. If Christ abides in us, we will not wait for someone to urge this work upon us. Job's experience should be ours. He says, "The cause I knew not, I searched out." Job 29, verse 16. Though we are in the world, we must cherish and practice the attributes of heaven. The fruits of righteousness will be revealed in every branch that is grafted into the true vine. Those who place themselves under the control of the Holy Spirit can be doers of Christ's words. All such will be refreshed as with the dew of heaven. But now is the time when we are to do this. "Behold, I come quickly," Christ says, "and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still." Revelation 22, verse 12, 11. I learn that no interest has been paid on the $4,000 Brother Lockwood entrusted to me. I shall pay this interest. This throws another burden on me,